621. This is 1320 WILS. Today, President Trump putting his weight behind a major reform to our immigration system, one that could completely change the face of this country. Mark Krikorian is with us, Executive Director of the Center for Immigration Studies. Mark, great to have you on WILS.
Thanks for having me.
So it's called the RAISE Act. It's a merit-based immigration policy. What do you think of it?
Oh, I think it's an excellent start to a debate about how much immigration we want. Not about enforcement, not walls and deportations and all that stuff. That's important, because if you're not enforcing the law, it doesn't matter what the law is. But the real important question at bottom is, what are the rules that you're trying to enforce? Are they good or not?
Because this would cut immigration by half, right?
Essentially? Yeah, over time. It would probably cut it by maybe 40% at first, and then over time, I don't want to get into it, but sort of naturally it would end up with a lower level. So after maybe 10 years or so, or even less, it would be half what it is now. Now we give about 1 million green cards a year, taking 1 million legal immigrants a year. This would, over a period of a few years, cut it to about 500,000.
Is that something we want to do?
I think absolutely. And there's two major changes here. One affects the numbers. The other affects the way we pick immigrants. The first thing that affects numbers is focusing the family immigration categories just on the nuclear family. Mm-hmm. Husbands, wives, and little kids of American citizens and legal immigrants, rather than all the other categories we now have for adult sons and daughters, for adult siblings of citizens, for the parents of citizens. This would get rid of all those green card categories. It would keep the ability to bring in elderly parents who needed care, mm-hmm. but they would come in not on green cards, but on a renewable, basically a visitor visa, and you would have to prove up front that you paid health insurance for them before they were allowed to come into the country to minimize the cost.
So do you feel people are taking advantage of the current system somehow? Or?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, even if it's not kind of taking advantage in the sense of, you know, conspiring to rip off the taxpayer, it still has the same effect. You're bringing in, you know, elderly people. They end up costing a lot of money. Immigrants, generally speaking, don't have a lot of earnings, and so they end up living on the taxpayer. We're not going to let people die on the street. But if you want to have a society where you don't let people die on the street, you have to be selective about who you let into it in the first place.
Talking to Mark Krikorian with the Center for Immigration Studies, we talk about the merit-based system. What would that look like exactly?
Yeah, that's the other part, not the family part, but the skills-based section. And there's already a part of the law like that, but it's a jumble of different categories and they're complicated, and basically you need a lawyer to figure it out. What they do is streamline that. They keep the number of skilled immigrants we take the same as it is now, but they collapse all of those ridiculous categories into one thing they call a points system. Canada has something like this, mm-hmm. where you fill out an application and you get points, basically, for different characteristics. If you get a bachelor's degree, you get a certain number of points. You get a PhD, you get more points. Mm-hmm. If you speak English very well, you get a certain number of points, that kind of thing. And so what it adds up to, if you reach a certain cutoff point, then you would qualify for the pool of people that they draw from for the skilled immigration category.
Okay.
And the point of that is to weed out less skilled people, and there's a lot of that in our immigration, even our supposedly skilled immigration program, and make it easier for best and brightest people, you know, a doctorate, a PhD in science from somewhere, make it possible for them to just get to the head of the line.
And what happens to them now if there's some really elite person that's trying to get into the U.S.? What are their opportunities now?
There are categories for them, but it's very complicated, and sometimes it doesn't work out, and they end up waiting in line, mm-hmm. especially if they're depending on what country they're from. So, you know, it can be a real hassle for high-skilled immigrants to get in. And frankly, if we want an Einstein-type immigrant to be able to come into the United States, we want to facilitate that and kind of grease the skids.
We're talking to Mark Krikorian. He is the executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies, and you're listening to 1320 WILS. And Mark, you've obviously been involved in this issue for so many years. How long have you been actually with the center?
I've been director of the center for 22 years.
22 years. So, well, congressionally, what is this kind of a measure facing? What's the likelihood of this getting through?
Well, I mean, it faces a steep climb. There's no question about it. I mean, if only because Congress is so feckless that they're not getting anything done in general, let alone this. Mm-hmm. And this is something that some of the Republicans don't even like, because remember that Gang of Eight bill from years back? Mm-hmm. Lindsey Graham and John McCain and others in the Senate were pushing it, and that bill would have doubled immigration instead of cutting it in half.
What's the rationale on the other side? What's the desire for that?
They never gave a rationale. No one ever asked them about it. They never said word one justifying that. They just stuck it in there. It's there because corporations want more warm bodies, and the ethnic pressure groups want more voters and more people to pretend to speak for. Mm-hmm. But the point is, they never made the case for it, because right. No reporter ever asked them, and they never brought it up. They knew people wouldn't like it. So this bill, if nothing else, will force that discussion. Mm-hmm. Do we want 1 million immigrants a year? Do we want 2 million a year? Do we want 500,000 a year? Let's actually have a debate about it.
So you're saying the corporate money is going to be fighting this effort?
Yeah, almost certainly, because all the money will be fighting this effort, both corporate money, left-wing money, libertarian money, whatever there is, the Koch brothers and, I don't know, whatever leftist you can imagine, they're all on the same side on this issue.
But don't the corporations want the higher-skilled workers coming in over the others?
They do want high-skilled workers. They want everything. They want more of everything. Mm-hmm. They want cheap labor. However they can get it, and they're all different industries. Remember, the restaurant industry doesn't care about, you know, Einsteins. They want controllable, servile people to wash their dishes. I mean, that's kind of what it amounts to. And they want as many as possible so that they can't bid the wages up and to keep their labor costs down. So, this is going to face a steep climb.
From what you're saying, though, if they couldn't get health care through, it sounds like this is likely not going to happen either.
But there's one qualification to this, and that is, I don't know if you follow this part of the story, but there's something called DACA. This is that illegal amnesty that Obama granted to the Dreamers.
Yeah, the children that were brought in illegally, right. But they were children at the time, right?
There's something like 800,000 of them now with work permits, but they're time limited. And if the Democrats are afraid enough that Trump will pull the plug on that program, they may be willing to come to the table and say, okay, look, let's trade a real permanent amnesty for these people in exchange for these changes to immigration going forward that we hate, but we'll take them if we have to.
Is that a good deal in your view?
In my opinion, yes. Now, I don't know, other people will disagree, but yeah, that's a deal I would take.
Okay, and that may be what actually turns the corner on this.
It could be.
Mm-hmm. And and for those that say, because I've heard the argument, this is going to split up families, that kind of thing, what do you say to that?
Well, I mean, look, everybody's related to everybody else eventually. I mean, we should prioritize nuclear family relationships. If you're an American citizen, you should expect that your fellow citizens let you marry a foreigner and bring that person back without a lot of rigmarole. I mean, there's some paperwork and stuff, but there's no caps or numerical limits. Or if you say adopt a baby, again, as long as it's all legit, you have the right to expect to be able to do that right away. But why should there even be a category for adult brothers and sisters to bring to the United States? My brother lives in hundreds of miles from me. I mean, that's fine. We have telephones for that. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, you can Skype, too, nowadays. That's
exactly.
Another option.
The world is smaller.
Yeah, indeed.
There's no need for that anymore.
It is Mark Krikorian, Executive Director of the Center for Immigration Studies, right here on 1320 WILS. Mark, thank you for your insight.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
6:30, when we come back, we're going to talk about this latest case of police planting evidence in Baltimore. It's shocking. That is next on WILS.